Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Here we go.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to be able to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Thank you for the business. As a friend of mine says to his customers, thank you for the food. Bill Halal is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Halal is I'm glad to say, is my very good friend and a member of our Brain Trust as well. Bill is one of the most well-respected scientists and teachers and futurists in the country, in the world. The Macmillan's Encyclopedia of the Future ranked Bill among the world's 100 most influential futurists, and on that list includes H.G. Wells, Arthur Clarke, and those guys. I bet our friend Nesbitt's on there too. John Nesbitt's in there too. He's with some pretty cool company, folks. And I'm very happy to say that he's our good friend. He's also professor emeritus of science and technology and innovation at George Washington University. And as I say, he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You know, Bill, I always liked you, and I was always impressed with you. But the more I learn about you, the more I realize, you know, you're a pretty cool guy.
Well, it's nice to hear. Thank you. You are too.
I'm really excited about your new book, and especially because your story for me, Bill, is one of the stories that I love, and it's been a great part of what I do here. So many of my friends, like you, I heard about the book or the project they were working on when it was literally just a gleam in their eye. And I mean, you've written other books. Folks, Bill's written a half dozen other books that have sold something under a billion copies worldwide over the years. But what it is, something under a billion, Bill. But anyway, when you started talking about this book, Technology's Promise, you know, and then now to see it in print, actually see a hard copy in front of me, it's really fun for me to see my friends having these ideas and then following them, talking to them, listening to them talk about the development of it, and then for it finally to turn into a product. That's a cool thing.
Well, this book in particular is the culmination of my work as a scholar over 40 years. It pulls it all together into a nice synthesis, and I'm very pleased with it. Books are like babies, you know.
Yep.
You produce a book, and it's out there in the world. You hear about it, and this is really just a bright, spanking new offspring.
Well, I tell my audience that for a man, writing a book is about as close as we'll ever get to birthing a baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
talk to us about the future. Let's talk about one of the things that you talk about in your book is you talk about converting energy, the transition to a sustainable world. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I think that's very timely right now with gas prices passing $4 and oil passing $140, and they're going to get a lot higher. This is a signal that the world has to change. We have to stop living beyond our means, and I think people are changing their attitudes. It's a heightened state of consciousness, and it's amazing how all around us you see people trying to find ways to live more lightly on the earth is a nice phrase that appeals to me.
Well, how do we do that? What part is technology going to play in that?
Well, I think the first thing is that we need a global disincentive to produce carbon into the atmosphere, and I think that's going to be tough. We forecast that the control of carbon will be accomplished by major nations in about 6 years. It's going to be tough. It's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of collaboration.
How much pain is there going to be in that? And 6 years seems awfully fast to me. See, Bill, here's where you
well,
maybe
that's just to impose the tax of some or a cap and trade system.
See now you're talking. See, this is where you and I disagree on things, Bill. Because see, I agree with the goal. You and I have the same goal in mind. What I'm concerned about is that we're going to wreck the economy to accomplish that goal. When instead of 6 years, maybe we need to take 20 years.
Well, I don't think we have that kind of time. There's a lot of uncertainty here, but I don't think the scientists think that we could wait 20 years. In fact, it's over. We have procrastinated too long.
I don't mean wait 20 years to get started. I mean start now.
Right. Right.
But amortize this change over 20 years, not 6 years. That's my point.
Sure. Well, this is our forecast for when nations will act and create some kind of a global scheme to tax carbon.
I hear you.
Well,
when we come back, I want Bill to focus on how technology is going to play a role in that. We're going to get the politics out of this because we want to talk about technology because technology is agnostic about politics. And that's one of the ways Bill and I remain friends. 20 till. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good.
Another great futurist in history, ladies and gentlemen. The late, great James Brown. He not only feels good, he knew that he would. Welcome back, 17 Till. Somebody who I know is a major fan of James Brown is our good friend William Hallal. Dr. Bill Hallal, the author of Technology's Promise, brand new book out that I certainly encourage you to check out. Isn't that amazing? We find futurists everywhere, don't we, Bill?
Yeah, well, we're all futurists, really. We all are going to live in the future.
He not only felt good, he knew that he was going to feel good.
That's right. Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
We're talking about, folks, in Bill's book, he talks about the evolution of technology, the way technology and human beings are going to continue to work together and how technology is going to continue to take over more and more of the roles of humans and how that's going to be good for us and how we're going to have to manage that so that it is good for us. But Bill, here's a thing I want to establish and let you talk about this after I do. I believe that the United States has the technology and the people and the capital and the ability to lead the world in this century in the area of alternative fuels. I believe we have it here in our power to do this, and I think that one area ought to be the United States' goal as a nation to lead the world in developing alternative fuels. What do you think?
I fully agree. In fact, we have lost the opportunities thus far, but it's not too late. We should organize.
And I'm not talking about biofuels either. I'm not talking about corn. I think corn's a loser.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Well, all technologies. There are about a half dozen alternative technologies. This country should lead the world in forming some kind of a global task force to solve the energy and environment problem. We could regain the leadership of the world by doing this because everybody is struggling with the same problem, and we are the natural leaders for it. Our forecasts show that we are likely to move from the present 17% reliance on alternative energy sources to 30% at about 2020. That will be the serious beginning of this transition, 30%. And the biggest one is solar. Solar energy still is costs five times or so as much as oil, but the progress is so rapid because people see the opportunities here that it's projected to match the cost of oil in about 4 years, around 2012 or so. And that's when it's going to take off. It's taking off right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing. As oil is going up, that may compress that time even more, right?
Exactly. The rise in oil prices really helps this transition to alternative fuels because it makes them economically feasible. Silicon Valley, I think, is poised to reinvent itself as the photovoltaic cell provider to the world. because photovoltaic cells use silicon, the same thing that's on chips.
Right.
And with the new developments in nanotechnology to make photovoltaic cells more efficient, that's the very thing that Silicon Valley is good at, and there's enormous interest in that right now.
So, and that cell is going to be used for catching solar rays
everywhere,
and,
right? I mean, we have them now on our calculators and but it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be on rooftops. It's going to be on your car to recharge your all electric.
One of these days, you're going to have a roofing material that'll have those things incorporated in it. And
exactly.
your roof will be your beautiful, you know, landscape. I mean, your beautiful architecturally designed roof will be capturing energy and converting
exactly.
it into electricity.
And you'll be selling the energy you don't need back to the power grid, making a little money on it.
Instead of the other way around, right?
The whole power grid becomes a decentralized network with millions of people supplying energy to the grid and drawing energy off of it, instead of the old model of, you know, a half dozen big centralized power plants.
Now, Bill, you're a lot younger than me, but is this going to happen in my lifetime?
Oh, absolutely. No, this is the here's our forecast in big groupings. By 2010, we think the world will be online. The cluster of forecasts is all around IT and e-commerce over the next few years. Mm-hmm. In fact, we project...
Stop for a second. Folks, small business owners, now you understand why I've been talking to you about getting yourself ready to do business globally. Even though you have a little bitty company, you're going to be able to do more trading with people around the world even every year that goes by. Right, Bill?
Absolutely. Everybody is interacting globally, and that will continue to be more the case. Because the world is integrating. The information technology is integrating the world into a coherent whole. That's essential to solve these enormous problems that the world faces. Energy and environment, terrorism, weapons of mass destruction,
it's a
globalization.
Peace dividend. It's a peace dividend. That we're going to be. I've been saying this for a long time, Bill. Years ago, I learned about a French economist, 19th century, named Frédéric Bastiat, and I call him economist and comedian because he was such a funny guy. The way he got his points across about the economics, but he said this, and I'm paraphrasing him only a little bit. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And
exactly.
I believe when small business owners in Sheboygan do business with small business owners in Shanghai, they won't hate each other.
Exactly.
And that'll be a peace dividend that will circle this globe in very quickly, I think.
Absolutely. I fully agree.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break. More to come with our good friend Bill Hallal. His new book is called Technology's Promise. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good one. It's in plain English. That's the part I like about it. Stay with us.
Break the silence.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We got them. We built them for you so you could use them and to be able to get there and use the stuff, use all of our stuff to your advantage, help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Bill Hallal is our guest. William E. Hallal, H-A-L-A-L. If you're Googling him, his book is called Technology's Promise. It's one I recommend to you very much. And it's if you want to see, folks, you've heard me talking a lot about how valuable technology is for us and for you and me. And if you want to see the kind of stuff you and I are going to be doing, and the kind of things we're going to be using in the future, get Bill's book. It'll help you. I promise. It'll help you with your planning, overall planning. Bill, talk to us. Give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, the book is a outcome of a project that I've worked on for 20 years, the TechCast project.
Uh-huh.
The website is www.techcast.org, T-E-C-H-C-A-S-T.org. And the project pools background information on about 70 technologies, the most strategic we can find. And then we have experts look over all of this background information, and they enter estimates to reduce the uncertainty that remains. And I think this is the best possible way to forecast technologies, getting this consensus of experts. And you'll see that on the website.
Well, and folks, I hope, and they can find the book there too, can't they?
The book is, it'll be on the site very soon, yes.
Okay, and what about, is it available on Amazon and
it's available everywhere, yes.
Everywhere,
that's
okay,
right.
Good. Technologies Promise, ladies and gentlemen.
Technologies
William
Promise.
E. Hallal. Bill, let's just get back to the energy thing, because I want to stay on that. We're going to get you back again, obviously, many times, and we'll talk about some other topics. But while we're focusing on energy, what do you think about hydrogen as a future?
Well, hydrogen is a carrier rather than a source of energy, as you probably know. And that means that that's because it's not found free in nature. It has to be created, and you create it by investing energy in some process. Probably the best way that we're going to be doing that is by using solar energy to split water, and you'll get hydrogen, and you release oxygen.
So you fill your tank up with water.
You could do it on board. That's possible, but it's more likely that there are going to be big energy plants offshore somewhere, and capturing solar energy, splitting water, and then piping the hydrogen back into land.
And so it doesn't matter if it's seawater or freshwater.
Well, it works better with freshwater, and that's one of the problems that we're going to have to clean the water, and I think that will be done using some of the modern forms of desalinization.
Right, right.
The cost of desalinization is dropping dramatically. It used to be like $10 a gallon or so. Now it's like 1 cent a gallon.
Wow.
That has enormous possibilities because
Absolutely.
Water is one of the most critical resources in the world.
But as a power source, do you see hydrogen in our future?
It could be. It's hard to say. Electricity, I think, is looking like a very good carrier, maybe even better than hydrogen.
The key is then is battery technology, isn't it?
Yeah, batteries. When we get really good batteries, cars that we use for urban driving will just be driven by batteries, and they'll be charged at night when rates are low, and I think that's going to work out just right.
Well, somebody has told me, though, some of my folks have told me, my energy experts, is that if we all had electric cars right now, that our electric grid couldn't handle it.
You mean charging old batteries?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's I have to think about that.
My point is, his point was, the more we go to electricity, the more we have to do other things to support that.
Well, I think that's true. But one of the nice things about having batteries in cars is that the fleet of automobiles in the nation becomes a storage a system
right.
for energy. Mm-hmm. See, if you've got all the cars topped off with energy in their batteries, then you can draw on that to do other
right.
things. And it solves the storage problem because some
right.
of these renewable energy sources are intermittent, like wind, solar, and so forth.
Right. Bill, I only got about 30 seconds, but I want to ask you a quick question. I don't see biofuels as a long-term future solution. What do you think?
Well, not corn. That's certainly true. That's been a debacle.
Yeah.
But, nature is just marvelous. Nature does so many wonderful things, and we're learning how to imitate nature by using the process of photosynthesis, which
mm-hmm.
is like 100% efficient. It's amazing. And that's going to take the place of corn ethanol.
Bill, good job today. So many more things I want to ask you. We'll do that in the future. Thank you for
Next
being
time.
With us. Yeah,
okay.
There you go. Bill Hallal, ladies and gentlemen. William Hallal. Technology's Promise is his book. Please check it out. You'll like it. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.